Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Raw Talk Radio with your host, Osman Shabazz.
To Oz's Raw Talk Radio. I thank you for joining us. Tonight my guest is going to be Shakira McKnight. This is our 13th episode, and I'm very, very happy to bring Shakira on. I first came across Shakira on Facebook. I saw that she had posted a video and she was giving a speech, and I was so impressed that I said, I got to have this young lady on Raw Talk Radio and bring the things that she's doing in such a positive manner out to the public. So Shakira is a peer leader in her community of Newark, and she advocates for the voice of the youth to be heard. So she really works closely with the youth in Newark. She is alumni of Central High School, Newark, and she's currently studying healthcare administration. She is also the youth representative for Mayor Ross J. Baraka. So without further ado, I'm going to bring Shakira on so that we can get this show started. How's it going, Shakira?
Fine. How are you? Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you. It's a good opportunity, but I'm a little nervous, so I'm going to try to do my best.
Yes, no problem at all. I've been doing this for 4.5 years, and I still get nervous.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's no big deal. So, like I was telling the audience in the introduction, the way I came about you, I did see that video on Facebook. I saw the positive response. I liked what you were saying. And I said she would be a perfect candidate to come on after I get all of the politicians out of the way and people that were running for office to bring a community activist on. That's down there on the streets, that's dealing with the nitty-gritty, and especially the fact that you work so closely with our youth. So let's start from the beginning. Tell me a little bit about your background in terms of your educational background and what it was like for you personally, because you're still young, growing up in Newark, some of the challenges that you faced and some of the challenges that you overcame.
So, again, my name is Shakira McKnight, and I am the youth representative for Mayor Ras Baraka. And also, you know, just in the streets, like you said, trying to get young people involved in everything that's going on today in society. I graduated from Central High School in North New Jersey. The principal while I was there actually was Mayor Ras Baraka. And while I was there, you know, coming from a private school, while I was, you know, in middle school and elementary was a big transformation for me. And being there, I learned very much, making very many friends that I still have to this day. I learned very much from them, situations that they went through that I didn't, you know, personally go through, but I felt for those issues and made me make the decision that I needed to do things in the community. And I didn't know that at the time, which was high school when I started making these decisions on, you know, wanting to be some type of leader in the community and some type of young person that motivates those around me, because I had challenges, you know, while I was in school, just wanting to be myself. You know, sometimes we always look to our friends and we see, you know, everyone's being the same and we kind of feel like we need to be that. But, you know, going to school, like I said, coming from a private school, Jama's Children's University, and going to Central High School taught me very much. Going from small classes to big classes, being around more people, you know, interacting with very much more people. That's why I do what I do. That's why I'm in the community. That's why I feel for the people, the young people in the community. And that's a little bit about me. And right about now, I am actually studying healthcare administration, like you said, transferring from Cleveland State University and looking forward to being at Bloomfield College in the next semester coming.
That's excellent. Excellent. So what year are you in Bloomfield College?
I will be in my third year. I'm transferring to Bloomfield next semester from Cleveland State.
Okay, got you. All right. So obviously you're working with the youth in the community of North. What are some of the programs out there that can assist our youth? And in what categories do they fall in? Youth that are on drugs, youth that are homeless, youth that are in abusive homes. What kind of programs are out there for our youth?
So there are a lot of programs out there for the youth. You know, so many in the city that I really can't name all of them, but to name a few, we have programs like the Youth NAVC, My Brother's Keeper, you know, the North Youth Ambassadors, which is a program that actually grounded me into understanding the things that are going on in society and in the world. And being in that program where we actually molded the first youth office ever in the city of Newark in City Hall, I got to talk with, you know, these different people who are leaders in our community and actually be able to hold them accountable for the things that we wanted to see and being able to set up programs that we wanted to see. We have programs like the Street Academy, the Centers of Hope, and recreation centers, which are places who are safe havens for young people, which have programs from different not-for-profits who can actually come and serve you as a young person for many needs that you have. And we can't forget this one place. It's a place, not a program, that is specifically for women, which is the Shawnee Baraka Women's Center that just opened, and it's about to go into a year of its opening coming soon. But I feel like that right there is the foundation of, you know, programs and initiatives in the city supporting young people and supporting the people.
Right. So over time, I've heard some criticisms about the Centers of Hope. Nobody ever specifically criticized what's wrong with it or whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. But I always hear things about that from the opposition, of course. The people that support the mayor, of course, appreciate the Centers of Hope. But those in the opposition always use that as a poster child of a program that really does nothing. What would you say to those folks who are out there criticizing and portraying the Centers of Hope in a negative light?
Well, one, I would say, as a young person I've seen, actually, you know, kind of being grounded in politics right now and learning a lot, I think that people are going to have negative things to say regardless, no matter if you're doing good or, you know, you're doing bad. But if you're doing good, you should know that things are going to be talked about. And I feel like, you know, everything isn't always going to be going right, the correct way, upright, but we have to know that we have to have faith in things, and we have to know that things are going to, you know, lead to success. And we also have to learn to unify to make sure that these things are successful. We can't always just sit back and complain. We have to, you know, actually sit down with each other and see past our differences and say this is what needs to be done, and it will be done because we're going to make it happen. That's what I feel from a young perspective, looking in on everything.
Right. So what is the mission statement for the Centers of Hope? And could you name a couple of success stories that have come out of that as a result of Mayor Baraka creating that for our youth?
Oh, wow. Can't give you a mission statement for the Centers of Hope, but I definitely can tell you that they are a safe haven for people in the community, and they serve they serve very well with their programs, between mentoring programs. They have programs where young girls can learn to sew, can cook. We have programs for young men where they're actually learning different things during the after-school hours where they don't have to be, you know, outside all of the time. They can come into these places and actually learn from people who want to teach them in positive light, and they want to be there for them.
Right. So it's sort of like a community center.
Yes.
And for our youth to go to avoid the streets or having to be on the streets where they can engage in, first of all, a safe place and also engage in constructive activity and also learn something that will help them navigate the treacherous streets of Newark.
Exactly. And not only the Centers of Hope, we have many places other than that. We have a Nantech Center, which is not just a place for technology where young people can learn technology, but they can learn. It's a basketball court in there also. They can go, you know, blow some steam. And it's right on Hawthorne Avenue. So not just the Centers of Hope, but we have recreational centers. And like I said, the Street Academy is actually in the Nantech Center. And that's a program that actually helps young people who may have, you know, fallen out of school, you know, for a certain period of time, and they still need something to do. They can go there, and they have mentors there, and they can learn from these people.
Right. Talk about the rape center, and that was named after the mayor's sister. Talk
what
about
what did you call it? I'm sorry.
What is it? Is it a rape health center, or what kind of center is it? The Shawnee Baraka.
Yes, it's a women's center. So it's a women's center that serves many needs for women.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, yes. And they actually have a small precinct in there where, you know, you can go and actually talk to officers one-on-one. You can talk to counselors one-on-one, therapists. And they have programs for young girls there also.
Okay. So what are some of the problems that you've seen that the Shawnee Baraka Center addresses? And what's their technique for helping young women or women, period, overcome some of the crises that they may find themselves in?
Well, me personally, I know that a friend of mine went there and actually got help. She had nowhere to stay, you know, and, you know, she needed someone to reach out to. And she told me that was the first place that she went to. When she went there, she said that she actually spoke to someone, you know, they gave her great, you know, just speaking skills that for someone that needed to be there, not someone who's just directing you in a business aspect. She found a safe place for her to stay after visiting the Shawnee Baraka Center, and actually came in contact with other young women that were, I believe, in their database for her to stay in contact with while she was here. She doesn't live here anymore. She actually moved about a month ago. But just being here, that place, the Shawnee Baraka Center, was a place for her that she can say in Newark, New Jersey, was a place that was there for her as a young woman. And she actually learned from other people while being there. People like, you know, Ms. Natasha Allen, and people like me, myself, Shakira McKnight, which is how
right.
we met. And I still call her a friend to this day, even though she isn't living in the city of Newark. But her short time being here, she felt like that was her place of safety and safe haven.
Right. Now, did the center actually find her somewhere to live or shelter or something?
Yes, they did, but I don't want to put too much of
I got you.
They found a place for her to stay and actually found a mentor for her.
Right. Now, today, I'm going to veer off a little bit into a national topic. Today, Bill Cosby was convicted of three counts of, I think it was called, aggravated indecent assault. Three counts of it for some of the charges that was brought against him, using drugs to incapacitate women, and then abuse them and take advantage of them sexually. Now, one of the things that I found disturbing was so many of my friends and people I know on Facebook that were posting things, and instead of, you know, basically making excuses for Bill Cosby because he's black, basically saying they hope he don't go to jail and all this other stuff. I find that there are a lot of people in the African American community that do not truly understand the trauma, the disgusting, vile act of rape. I find that all the time, that some kind of way they've been desensitized and don't know the trauma that a woman goes through in such cases mm-hmm. as rape and sexual assault and things of that nature. What is your sense of males understanding? And it was actually females too, which is surprising. So it's not even a gender thing. It's like it's a mm-hmm. cultural thing. Whereas we look at a black man who's popular, who had TV shows and things of that nature, and because of that, we've dismissed, you know, the fact that he himself admitted that he was giving these women pills, mm-hmm. and sexually, he says it was consensual, but too many women have come out and said, you know, you don't need to knock a person out if it's consensual. So what do you say about that, especially as a young woman yourself, and I'm sure being a part of the community and your activism has brought you across women who also have mm-hmm. been victims of rape. What do you feel about that attitude in our community that dismisses the fact of women being abused, women being raped, as if it's nothing?
Well, like I said before, I know sometimes in the community we look at all of the negatives. But we have to continue to find solutions, I feel like, to things that are coming to light in this world and not just depict on the topic. I understand it's a very, very crucial topic. And, you know, I have people that are very close to me that have went through, you know, these things that have
right.
been victims of rape, you know. I feel like, you know, we can't voice it enough how much, you know, we need to put a stop to it and show that we don't support people that do these things in our community, but also we have to continue to protect our women. And by protecting our women, we have to continue to, you know, have programs where we show that we support them, that we love them, that we're there for them. And, you know, we have to shine light on those programs, and we have to shine light on these people that are there. We have many women role models in our community that have been through, you know, many situations in their life, you know, and they don't choose to, you know, speak on it in its negative aspect, but they choose to actually create initiatives to help the next girl, or even
right.
like you said, not just women, it's men that go through this also, that will help the next man, you know, not go through this. You know, we have people who have that are helping these situations that don't even really speak about it, you know, and it hurts them because sometimes you have people that scream about it so much, you know. It's like sometimes we have people who feel like they can help situations in different ways, and I just feel like, you know, some people deal with things in different ways, and I feel like we should deal with it in a manner where we're actually finding a solution and not just talking about it and complaining about it.
Absolutely. And as a man with 3 daughters, I'm very, very sensitive to that topic.
Right.
And
my mother is too. And my father, you know, growing up in a strict household, you know, my parents were the type that they, because of, you know how society is, my mother didn't even want me to spend a night out too much, you know, just because, you know, she's very protective of me. So as a young woman, you know, I say to the young women out there also that we have to protect ourselves by protecting our bodies and protecting our minds. And by doing that, we have to study, and not just study ourselves, but study who we really are in our souls. That's how I feel. We have to study who we are.
Absolutely. And I guess it all starts with pride in oneself.
Mm-hmm.
Having certain types of values, high moral values, wherein you're not going to just, you know, do anything, and you're going to treat your, you know, your body as a temple, like you say, to be in touch with your own soul and your own self-worth. And hopefully
right.
that will guide your actions and your behavior, because
there
are a lot of predators out there.
Right.
And women really need to be careful.
Yeah.
They really need to be careful. And I tell my daughters that all the time. And it's just unfortunate. And part of it is society's fault, especially the way the media, through popular music and popular culture, have degraded our black women, especially as bitches and hoes, and these lyrics, and these young boys grow up hearing this, and that, in some cases, is the perception that they have of our young women, and women, period. And this leads to more dysfunction, more trouble, and more harm towards our beautiful black women that are just trying to live a good life, be safe, and try to prosper in this society.
I want to give you a quote that is very, dear to me. They say, if you educate a woman, you educate a nation. And I feel like with that quote, if our community understands that and we feed it to our community, we cannot lose. And if we study that and we actually ground that in our children, we cannot lose. Because once the culture of the woman changes and the way the people in the community think of the woman, then I feel like, the success of the community is endless.
Absolutely. How you treat your women is definitely going to reflect how your community turns out. And at some point, I don't have a magic bullet for this. I don't know how you overcome multi-billion-dollar industries that profit off of degrading black women and teaching our young men that black women should be an object that is exploited for their own self-pleasure. That is such a devastating thing that has happened, and it has big-time ramifications, and you see it out on the streets.
You have to pay homage to, the great women who are serving as great leaders, with, great dignity and respect to themselves, serving in professional manners. We have to pay homage to these people. We have to pay homage to the young leaders who are in our community, that continue to stand out and voice their opinions about the things that they're seeing. And we can't shadow them. So, besides the woman, after the woman, like I said, comes the children. So after the children speak up, then, you can't lose once the children are talking.
Right. Absolutely. And here's a question I want to ask you. You're out there in the community. You're dealing with our youth. You're seeing the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know that you're very hopeful for the future. So one of the things I would like to know from your perspective, how do you think our youth can make a difference now in the city of Newark and even throughout the urban centers and urban cities all across America?
By continuing to speak up, by continuing to talk about the things that they see in their community, by continuing to know that, their voices will be heard. By connecting and holding those accountable, who are around you. And most importantly, having confidence in yourself and, not being afraid to tell your friends what the right thing is to do. That's one thing that we all fall short on sometimes, telling our friends what is the right thing to do. And right now I see clear as day that, who my friends are, because they're right behind me while I'm in the streets doing this work, trying to wake my friends up. Those who are, living right down the street from me. They might not live the lifestyle I live, but we also still have a connection. And I feel like youth all around the world just needs to understand that we can unite and we will unite. And I feel like we are uniting right now, just from being at the march. The different marches that are going on around the world, due to gun violence and things of that nature, not just gun violence, police brutality, but gun violence, due to one-on-one gun violence, us being in the streets together. You get what I'm saying? I just, want us to continue to unite for positive things, and be a part of these positive programs and create these positive programs and also create our own businesses. I want young people, most importantly, to buy back their communities, because If we don't, then someone else will, and it's there for us. But most importantly, unite for business, unite for success, and unite for peace. That's what I say for all the young people in the community, all around the world, to all of the urban communities.
Right. The one thing, I'm just reflecting on my youth in Newark. The one thing that happens in a community and when a kid grows up in an environment, you want to fit in. That's just a natural inclination that's been clocked into us genetically to want to fit into our surroundings, to want to fit into with our peers and our surrounding community. And there's just so much temptation to do wrong when you're coming up in an urban area, and that's across America. That's not specific to any particular city. It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure even as a woman, you had those same temptations where friends were trying to influence you to do this and do that. And in my case, I never, you ever see that, that cartoon, a Roadrunner? When a guy goes flying and he gets the Roadrunner stops at the cliff and you see the coyote go right over after trying to chase him. You know, there's been a couple of times that I've been right at that cliff and I stopped. And you can see the rocks falling down in the canyon and off the mountain. But it was just my values, who I was, my inner self, and there's just certain things that I just was not going to do. And one of them was I wasn't going to rob people. I wasn't going to carry a gun. I wasn't going to break into people's houses. And I wasn't going to steal their cars. And I wasn't going to be a predator. That's just the way it is. So that was never one of my challenges. But you have other challenges, you know, to drinking and smoking drugs or doing coke or whatever, all of those other challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just so many things out there to get you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So many things out there to get you. And if you do make a mistake, I think it's the values, your inner values that your parents taught you that you probably ignored for a little while, but when it really counts, they kick in and stop you from being that coyote in the Roadrunner cartoon that goes off the cliff.
Right. Well, I kind of feel like, you know, in Mayor Barack's Leadership Academy, he taught us confidence. And, you know, for us to reach where we need to reach, you know, in our success, you know, we have to have confidence in ourselves, not just confidence in ourselves, but confidence in our community also. You know, the way we feel about ourselves probably is the way we feel about our community. The way you feel about your community is probably the way you feel about yourself. And I feel like, you know, sometimes we need to sit back and listen to ourselves and actually understand what we're saying to ourselves when, you know, we say this isn't good for us, but this is good for us. You know, sometimes it's easier to take the wrong way than it is the right way. But we have to stay steadfast and understand that, you know, you aren't the only one that is going through what you're going through. And you can actually, you know, make it through this. And there are people who are out there who want to help you and want to be there for you and want to talk, you know, who want to talk to you at these great different places in the community. And me, myself, you know, if you need somebody, if anybody's listening right now, you just need somebody to talk to, that's what I'm here for, you know. And I have friends who are here to be there for you also. And that's what it's about in the community. You know, they say it takes a village to raise a child, but that village doesn't have an age range on it, I feel like. So if there's a 5-year-old that could just be there for you to give you a hug, you know, take that and you know, embrace that and know that, you know, there is hope ahead and there is, and you have to have faith in yourself.
Absolutely.
Faith is key and confidence. You have to have confidence. Build that confidence up. You have to.
Right. One of the things that, you know, we all right now we're in a campaign season, and you see the opposition to Mayor Baraka take videos of dirty lots. They take videos of, you know, when the streets haven't been cleaned. They take videos of abandoned buildings, and, you know, they take shots at the mayor. But what I never hear them saying is, Mayor Baraka isn't the one that's throwing all that crap in those parking lots or in those abandoned lots or those empty lots, I should say. Mayor Baraka isn't the one that's burning out these buildings, smoking crack in them, and they catch on fire. Nobody ever says, why don't we get and train the community that when they come out of a store and finish with a potato chip to find a garbage can to put it in, you know, the bag, as opposed to just throwing it on the streets. Or if they go get a soda or if they go get a beer, instead of just chucking it in the slot or chucking it on the street, find a garbage can, hold it until you find something else. So if people in the community are the ones, it's like not like no outsiders is coming there throwing cans and stuff. It's the people that live in the community that's mm-hmm. that's destroying it and that's putting down the garbage and the litter and stuff like that. At the end mm-hmm. of the day, that's the solution for people to regain the eye for beauty and, exactly. and the aesthetic of wanting a clean, sparkling community. So right. when I see these fools taking these videos of parking lots and houses and things of that nature, that's not the answer trying to criticize Mayor Baraka. The answer is mm-hmm. when the community itself have a high standard and they're not going to trash and create garbage and litter and, yeah. and dirt and, you know, those filthy lots that they're taking pictures of.
Right.
It's up to the community to stop doing it because it's not the mayor's yeah. job. Every time you feel like throwing a soda can down and a bottle of liquor or trash for him to come clean it up. It's your community. Right. You clean it up.
You're right. But we always find a solution. And what we do is we go out and we clean up. And right now what we're doing is the Department of Sanitation is going out every Saturday morning. There was about a whole bunch of college students that got together, I believe, 2 weeks ago. And they actually just go out into different communities and different areas, different wards, and clean up actually every morning, every Saturday morning. So if you want to be a part of that, you can contact me also. Every Saturday morning, we are out. Besides the every daily basis when they're cleaning the communities, you know, sanitation, we're out in the community saying, hey, you know, no, we're not accepting litter in our communities. We're not accepting you, you know, abandoning your community and feeling like you can do this here. You have to know that you love your community and you have to actually want to keep it clean. So, you know, I invite those people who feel like they want to help the community to come on Saturdays and help us clean up.
Now, these different communities where you got you. Now, these different communities that, you know, you go, and I know that Rahman Muhammad last week was had a crew that was out there cleaning. I seen some other people. Now, when you're out mm-hmm. there cleaning these lots in certain neighborhoods, do you find that people that normally would walk by come and say, help you and join and help them clean their own community?
Yes. You might have one or two people, or you might have more than one or two people who, you know, want to participate. You know, everybody in the community isn't negative. You know,
right.
I think sometimes we think we have more negative in the community than we have positive. But until you actually get out here and see what's going on, like, you know, we talk about me hitting the ground running with other young people and actually seeing what's going on in our community. We actually see that, you know, kind of the things that go on Facebook and go on in the media is kind of not fake, but it's not a reality, you know, once you're actually
out there. It don't tell a whole story.
Right, it's not telling the whole story. It's telling just, you know, a taste, a little piece of it.
Okay.
And to tell you the truth, a lot of us young people don't really focus on the negative that's going on Facebook. I mean, you know, it took someone to say it to me, hey, go pay attention to that for me to actually notice what was going on out of all the negative on, you know, around us. But once you're really out here and you're, you know, trying to help the community, you kind of don't really have time to focus on seeing all of that negative that's going on. You're too
right.
much on focused on seeing the positive and wanting to be a part of the positive and creating for the positive change.
Right. So one of the things that I believe is a positive change for our youth and for the city of Newark is the fact that we now have local control of the schools.
Yes.
So we, That's right. So now we have the power to basically guide our own fate, guide our own ship as to where our kids are going to end up at educationally.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we have local control, what would you say right now to the young people and the youth of our community and as well as the adults, how we can maximize the potential in this gift of regaining local control in order to make our schools improve better in terms of the quality of education, improve our standardized test scores, and to rise among the ranks in the state of New Jersey?
The number one thing we can do is get involved. And young people, I feel like this is, you know, after 20-some years, an opportunity like, you know, no other for us to say what we want to learn. Everything that we're learning in schools, you know, being under the control of the state might have not been the things that we have wanted to learn in schools. You know, if you go to other places, you see different curriculums, and they're very creative. And now I feel like, you know, as young people, we can voice these different things that we would like to see, like home economics coming back to the schools and actually having, you know, these workshop classes where men are actually, young men are learning how to build again. These are the things that we actually really need to, you know, be involved in. And I just feel like, you know, it's a win-win situation with us right now as young people, you know, as far as being involved with the schools. And we have the NORC Youth Policy Board, which is actually an initiative that is put together where we're actually, you know, creating different things and topics for local control and trying to figure out what it is actually that the students and the parents want to see. But more importantly, this is the opportunity to get involved and to actually voice what you would like to do in school and what you would like to learn.
Right. Now, if you had two wishes that all you had to do is wish and it's going to come true regarding the educational system in NORC, what are two wishes that you can name that you think that if you just thought about it and you wanted to implement it and it's a go, that will improve the educational outcomes for our youth and to make NORC school system improve in terms of better outcomes for our kids?
Okay. My number one wish is that the community comes together for the children, and not just in a business aspect, but in a cultural aspect.
Right.
My second wish is, give me 1 second, let me think about that one, because it's my last wish.
Yeah, because it's coming true, whatever it is, so you got to think about
right.
it.
My
okay.
last
Why
wish
you
is that... is most importantly that it impacts local control and the students and the parents are impacted by the decisions that are made for them and by them, and that they feel it and that, you know, the community as a whole just, you know, is unified.
Right. One of the things that I found disappointing is, you know, we finally have local control.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was a changing of the guard because there was a Board of Education meeting recently. And as I heard, as some people were Facebook Live in it, you heard people being disruptive in the background, people yelling. I believe it was Donna Jackson was yelling. You had one person challenge Dawn Haynes, who happens to be a Muslim, for swearing in and taking her oath on the Quran. You just saw so much disunity. You had people that were disappointed because they didn't become vice president of the council
mm-hmm.
or they didn't get what they wanted because they felt as though they had seniority. So it seems mm-hmm. like we have local control, but the same divisions that was aimed at Cammy Anderson are now aimed at Mayor Baraka in some cases, not to the same intensity. Because more people support the mayor than not. But it's the same usual suspects with their loud mouths that come to these meetings and disrupt it and just turn it into a ghetto festival as opposed to worrying about, number one, trying to come together, get up to the mic, say what you got to say respectfully, and leave and sit down. But yelling and drowning people out and calling board members, you know, names. And even with Cammie Anderson, I didn't like the way she was treated in terms of the same type of thing, because I just think there's a way. I think if you say the right words, they're effective. You don't have to yell names. You don't have to call people names. But when I see people attacking Dawn Haynes because she got the vice president position, when I see people in the audience yelling, when I see people questioning her faith or the legitimacy of her faith to be able to swear in whatever her holy book is, that really upset me. And even with local control, now, before the guns were aimed at Cammie Anderson, now we're aiming them at each other. So what was your take on the board meeting, and what do you suggest that we do moving forward to try to bring about more unity in order to improve the educational outcomes and keep our eyes on the prize instead of trying to tear each other down?
Eyes on the prize. I'm happy you mentioned that movie. Eyes on the prize. We have to keep our eyes on the prize. And as young people, I mean, I can't speak on the rhetoric, you know, that, you know, happened at the board meeting, but I know that it's time more now than ever for the young people to stand up and actually show what unity is. And we're getting started, but I just feel like, you know, that's what's going to make the change for the ones who are being disruptive to see that a change can happen in a unified way without, you know, all of the hostility.
Right. Well, the funny thing is, these are the same people that show up at the council meetings that are disruptive. These are the same meeting that hold these press conferences in front of City Hall attended by two or three people. These are the same people that's just always at somewhere, some type of event, disrupting, causing trouble. But yet, when it's their turn to run for political office and power to actually do something about it, they don't even know how to get qualified. They can't even get enough signatures, legitimate signatures in the community to run for office. But yet, they're the same ones that's always calling everybody else incompetent and no good, and they shouldn't be in the community. But when they had their chance to put themselves in a position to do something, they fell way short of the mark, and they're back now to doing what they always do. It's almost like they're paid agitators to disrupt every meeting the mayor has, to disrupt our Board of Education meetings, just to go around and agitate, cause trouble, foster disunity, and try to drag the mayor down. I don't know how the youth are looking at that or if they're even paying attention, but I find that a really sad outcome of people with their selfish political agendas and don't matter, and they don't care how it looks to our youth coming up, because all they're going to do is emulate that behavior themselves.
Right. I mean, you know, you won't win with an attitude like that. I wasn't raised, you know, to even feed into attitudes of that nature. I was always just taught to, you know, keep it moving and make sure you do what you have to do what you, you know, need to do for your own success and for the success of those around you. And I feel like for our community to be successful, like I said, we need to unify. And we can't lose. But right now, it's time for the youth to show that, you know, unity is here, and to show the change to that bad culture that's going on, you know, in those meetings and the things that are going on and the things that, you know, all of those negative things. We really don't pay attention to those type of things, you know, until it's actually in our face. And then when it is, it's like, oh, you know, we already dealing with other issues. We don't have time for that.
Right. Now, you were a student of Mayor Baraka's at Central High School, correct?
Yes.
How did you find his educational leadership? And I know you're working for him with his youth outreach program. You're a representative for the mayor. How do you see the mayor helping our youth to do better, to change their lives, and to take advantage of the opportunities in society, as well as all of the new opportunities coming for the citizens of Newark? Because as the mayor always say at his rallies, you see cranes in the air, you find companies relocating to Newark, you see new I hate to use the word luxury because luxury can mean a lot of things. To some people, mm-hmm. $2,500 a month for studio is luxury. Then you got for that same place across the river in Manhattan, you're going to pay $10,000 mm-hmm. a month or $9,000. So I don't know, but we see new building, good quality buildings, housing in Newark, as well as affordable housing. So how has from your vision since you've been under the mayor's tutelage for years, how do you see the mayor inspiring the youth? Because I definitely know after attending a lot of his rallies, I think he's mm-hmm. a very gifted leader, and
right.
I see him inspiring adults, so I can imagine how right. it is for the youth.
So, number one, I feel like he serves as an example for many of us, you know, not just being a mentor to some of us and a father to some of us, but teaching us and showing us. When he started this work, you know, it was way before his 20s, and he ran for mayor in his 20s. So that being a clear example to us that, you know, you're never too young to make a change. And just like him, Martin Luther King, you know, started very young. You know, he didn't start when he was 30 and 40 years old. He started when he was very young. Mayor Baraka teaches us every month at a leadership academy. He actually takes time out of his busy Saturdays, which I know he probably has a million and one things he could be doing. But once a month, he actually sits down with us and teaches us like we're in a classroom. It is a classroom, and most of us have been going consecutively, but we still have new faces every month that show up. He teaches us about the community. He teaches us about confidence, as I spoke before. He teaches us about the things that, you know, we need to pay attention to in the community and focus on. And he actually, he gives us free range to voice how we actually feel. And it's a judgment-free zone. And when we talk about, you know, these places, like these luxury places, we can't forget about the inclusionary zoning that just passed. And we can't forget about affordable housing. So there are
right.
things in place where, you know, solutions are being made. But it's just about the information getting out there to the people and them actually feeding the information to each other, because the information is there, the resources are here, but it's just a matter of us spreading the information, because information is power.
Absolutely. One of the things a lot of people don't know, or if they do know, they don't appreciate it and don't understand the significance of it, is that Mayor Baraka was out on those streets for a long time, speaking in the community,
mm-hmm.
warning about crime, warning about homelessness, warning about a lot of the negative attributes, culturally speaking, that keep us down as people in inner cities and as African Americans in particular. Mayor Baraka is a study in determination that a lot of people can learn something from. And he didn't have no overnight success despite being the son of Amiri Baraka. He was out mm-hmm. there in those streets organizing for 20-something years. And then he finally mm-hmm. had a victory politically, you know, when he became the councilman. But prior mm-hmm. to his victory, he had many losses. But he mm-hmm. got himself up, dusted himself off, and went right back out there. And to me, that is a life lesson that, you know, things, number one, don't come easy to you. And if you do fail the first two, three, or even four times, get back in the game, do what you need to do, work harder, learn from your mistakes, and still, you know, go out there to seek your goals. So with that determination, he became a councilman. Now he's mayor, and he's a successful mayor. I don't care what the opposition says. If you objectively look at Mayor Baraka, he is a successful mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And like you were saying, his example, I think the best example he's shown is determination to keep pushing, to keep going at it, to keep fighting for your dreams, no matter how many times you get knocked down and how many times you fall short.
You don't got to see him as losses. You can see him as, you know, stepping stones to your next success.
Right.
That's how I feel.
Right. And even in life, opposition makes you stronger. You know, in order to build muscles, you have to lift a heavy weight. And you got to strain and you got to sweat. And then you might even yell for that last pull. But you know, at the end of the day, it's building your body up. It's building up your strength. It's getting you in shape. So
I was going to say Muhammad Ali couldn't have won any of his fights if he didn't have an opponent.
Exactly. So your opponent makes you stronger. Opposition makes you stronger. And that's how we grow as human beings, because the opposition don't necessarily come in the form of another person. It can come in struggling to pay a bill, struggling to get at an income level where you can live a comfortable life, struggling at an income level to get to an income level where you can treat your kids to a better life, send them different places, give them different cultural experiences. But those who think everything is going to But those who think things are going to just fall in their lap and things are just going to come to them without them putting in a tremendous effort, unless you got a trust fund or something, I think that's one of the problems that we have in the community, is that folks have gotten used to folks just giving them things and they feel entitled that they don't have to do nothing, but just get things.
Right, we have to invest in each other and invest in our community, and then, like I say, we will succeed. Invest, and unify.
Right. Well, the unity piece is a good word, but to me, everybody has an agenda, and what I'm finding out in politics is that it's just people are selfish, you know. You got guys out there that's always calling on other people to be accountable, and they pretend to be such stalwarts of the community. But at the end of the day, they're just in it for themselves. They're trying to make money. They're trying to get deals. They're trying to exploit the misery of our people to line their pockets. And that's the sad part. And that's what keeps the disunity, disunity going. But there are also sincere people out there, such as yourself, who have no motives, who have no agenda, who's not trying to line your pocket off the misery of our people, that I have hope in, that I have hope for, that when your time comes and when you, as you grow into your leadership role, and I know that's going to happen just the couple of times, few times we talked and communicated and how we set this radio show up, lets me know that you have the talent and the ability that one day you're going to be a big thing in Newark. And I predicted that. And I'm predicting that right now. You're going to be a big thing in Newark because you're sincere,
Inshallah.
and you work hard.
By the grace of God, Inshallah, that will happen.
Yes. Are you Muslim?
Yes, I am. Born and raised.
Oh, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yeah. But that's what I'm hoping for. The youth. So tell me something. You're going to Bloomfield College, correct?
Yes. Next semester I will be at Bloomfield College.
Right. Now you're studying healthcare administration. Tell us a little bit about the field that you're studying, what it entails, and what do you hope to do in the future with this degree and the knowledge that you're gaining in this particular field?
Well, my goal is to get a PhD in healthcare administration and to one day, you know, help the hospitals of the city of Newark, New Jersey, change some policies that need to be changed in the hospitals, and to actually, you know, not to say that our hospitals are in bad shape, but that's just the field that I feel most important in, the health of our community. You know, if we don't focus on our health, then we can't really move. You know, we can't do much in this world. So, number one, that's where my heart is, and I'm praying that, you know, I succeed with obtaining this PhD, and that, you know, I can help the people of the community, not just mentally, but physically and emotionally also.
Right.
And I actually was a part of a documentary with Robert Wood Johnson, St. Barnabas, recently, and it just was a documentary where we talked about food insecurity in urban communities, and we actually got to, you know, talk about, you know, how we wanted to see, you know, more food security in New Jersey, in North New Jersey. And, you know, we don't notice that, you know, food insecurity is in many places, a lot of different places that you might not even think of. And we also, I also am a part of the Robert Wood Johnson grant that we are actually a part of, where we're actually next generation leaders. We call ourselves health leaders. And we're actually trying to create an initiative where we're solving a solution to a health problem in our community, whether it be mentally or physically or emotionally. And that's what we're actually in the process of doing. Some young students from the city of Newark. So, you know, when they say the youth are in bad shape, not all of them. And I would like to let them know that we are all waking up and most of us are woke.
Right, right. Well, that's good. You're a very good, strong advocate for our youth and a good example as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, as a Muslim myself, I'm very proud to see you taking on a leadership role, that you have so much passion for our community, that you're constantly, constantly seeking to improve yourself, to give back to our community. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's what Islam is all about. Islam is a rising tide, trying to bring as many people up as possible, not to step on them, not to exploit them in order for us to get ahead. And I'm sure Allah is pleased with you. As a Muslim that's much older than you, I'm very pleased to see that happen, because a lot of our Muslim youth, because I went to Muhammad University of Islam when I was a kid. I had the dreams and everything. And I see, you know, a lot of us did very well, and I say most of us, but once in a while you see some of us fall, you know, astray.
Right.
You know, the streets get us too, especially the generation after me. I saw a lot of them fall too, but a lot of them did good. So I'm so pleased to see you're doing well
Thank you.
That you have coordinated and joined other youth and other young people in trying to help the community.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just, that's what we look for. That's what I call hope. Hope for me is I like to see tangible stuff. I like to see things like what you're doing. I like to see things like some of our other youth are doing to really have hope for the future, not just an empty word, but to see good, strong examples like Dawn Haynes, like Asia Norton, like Anbelly Gomez doing their thing and taking roles on the Board of Education. You're doing what you're doing with the youth and working for the mayor and representing the mayor. That is what feeds my hope.
Thank you. And I look forward to, you know, other young people joining us. You know, we have different avenues that they can visit where they can join us and actually help us in this work to waking up other young people and getting them involved in what's going on in the community. They can stop by the mayor's youth office, which is at City Hall, which is room B3, or they can find me, you know, in the community. I'm hitting the streets every day. Each ward, each street, you know, you can find me. My name is Shakira McKnight. And I'm just thankful to be on the show today, and I thank you for the opportunity to talk to the community again.
Very good. I'm very pleased to have you as a guest, and I will be inviting you on. I'll be inviting you back on in the near future. The selection will be over with soon, and we can go ahead on and move Newark forward. And with people like you on the horizon, I'm very hopeful.
Thank you very much.
Have a good night, Shakira, and thank you so much on being on Oz's Raw Talk Radio and imparting such great knowledge and hope and spirit to my audience, our audience tonight. Take care. See you next Wednesday, 7 p.m., Oz's Raw Talk Radio.